Well, again, I desire your prayers this morning. Have a few thoughts to share that the Lord has been talking to me about. So I want to start off by talking about springtime again. And there's obviously a lot of things right now. You could say springtime in general is just a transition time. For instance, March is known as the windy month around here for a reason. And why is it so windy? Well, it's transitioning from wintertime to springtime. And if I remember correctly, later this week is officially spring. We've already had some pleasant weather, some nice sunny days, and a little bit of rain here and there, and a little warmer. But thinking of this transition from cold, the bitter cold days, it wasn't, what, maybe a month ago that we had negative, 5 degrees, bitter cold. And then to think of, you know, later this summer, we'll probably be, you know, back up to 100 and, you know, humidity around 100%, and so on and so forth. But right now, it's a transition period. And think of this too, you know, every spring, it just amazes me. And it's like, okay, I've seen this, what, 48 times in my life? But to think of the just the natural God-given process of every spring, you know, the grass starts getting green again, and the flowers start popping up again, the buds, you know, and the trees budding out, and the leaves, and the birds start coming out more, and all kinds of from your different little animals, like little babies, you know, a lot of times happen in the springtime, and just a lot of things. The daylight starts getting longer, so you can do more stuff outside, and but, you know, there's something about, I guess you could just say it this way, something about getting older, transitions are just not as easy as they used to be. And we'll put it this way, sometimes it's more challenging to embrace even the changes of the weather. For instance, I don't like the extreme cold or the extreme hot as much anymore. The older I get, it's like, nah, I just kind of like this moderate temperature, you know. Let's just stick with that. But there's other things, transitions and seasons of life that we all go through. And the fact is, I think humans in general, there may be a few exceptions here, but I think we could all safely say that we don't really like change. In a lot of ways. Sometimes, yes, we do. But I'm just saying, like, for instance, you get a routine going, and you just kind of, you're used to the normal this, normal that, and all of a sudden, you know, something changes, and it disrupts your pattern, disrupts your whatever it is that you're used to. But thinking of it this way, why do we not like change? Why do we not like the transition period sometimes? For instance, a lot of it may be there's uncertainties. There's a lot of unknowns. There's things that maybe there's extra work required. For example, you know, springtime is a good indication that things are starting to get busy, especially if you have a yard or a field that has to be tended to, if you have property, because there's mowing, weed eating, bush hogging, you know, tending to whether it's a garden or flowers or crops or, you know, livestock, all these things. So work increases a lot of times. But there's other things that maybe it's as simple as maybe you fear. Or how should I say this? You're not excited about change or transition because there's a fear of failure, perhaps. Like, oh, maybe I'm going to have to be put in this position now, and now so and so or these other people, they're going to be expecting something here, and I wonder if I can actually make it happen or if I can pull this through. You see what I'm saying? So there's a lot of things that when we talk about transitions, it can be kind of scary sometimes, or alarming, or fearful, or whatever the case may be. But I want to look at it a little different way this morning. If we could flip the script and say, actually, I'm ready to embrace this change or transition, and to think of it as, you know, maybe there's some new opportunities here where I can learn something new that'll better myself, that'll improve, whatever the case is with myself. But to not resist the transition or the change that's taking place, but again, embrace it and say, you know, maybe there's some new growth or new territory to be conquered, all right? Or maybe I'll find something to give back in return. When I make through this process, this transition, I'll have learned something. I'll have gained something. I can share it with someone. You realize sharing something with someone brings so much purpose and meaning to life, doesn't it? That's part of the blessing of marriage, for instance, is you're sharing something and you're giving of yourself. But again, that's a transition as well. And there's other things. You can discover new friends along the way, all right? Maybe you encounter a new job or a new position somewhere or new neighbors or whatever it is, and you discover some new friends. But ultimately, along the way, we can think of it as this is an opportunity for the Lord to show himself faithful to me. Because hasn't he been faithful to us up until this point? So do you think he's going to all of a sudden just kind of forget about us? When we're in the middle of this transition period that we're going through? No, he's not going to forget about us. So my burden this morning is that we learn to trust through transition. And I want to write that title on the board here. Okay. There we go. So trust through transition. So with this, I want to turn to a familiar story in the book of Joshua, and I want to talk about a transition period that took place. At the beginning of Joshua, actually we'll go to the third chapter, and I'm not going to read all of the scriptures here, but we'll touch on several scriptures here in Joshua, the third chapter. And Moses was gone. So it was up to Joshua to lead the children of Israel. And as they're preparing to go into the land of Canaan, there was an obstacle. And the obstacle was the Jordan River. Now, to be fair, the ones that were left of the children of Israel here, all the rest of them had died off that originally began their journey to the land of Canaan. All the older generations had died off except for Joshua and Caleb. And you remember that story. It was because of their lack of faith in believing they could go over and conquer. So therefore, they had to wander around the wilderness for 40 years. But even at that, God was with them those 40 years, okay? But now they're fixing to transition to a new period of their lives. They're fixing to go into the land of Canaan. And think about this. They'd never been to the land of Canaan. Those other 10 spies which had gone into the land of Canaan, they died off, as well as their, you know, all the others, the older ones, they had all died off. It was just Joshua and Caleb. They were the only ones that had been in the land of Canaan before. That's all that was left, okay? But for everyone else, they'd never been to the land of Canaan. They just heard the accounts given by the 12 spies. And Joshua and Caleb were the last two that were left. So this was new territory. This was a new adventure. But for 40 years, God had kept his hand over them and preserved them up until this point. And they were growing with number, okay? And they still had livestock and different things to care for. But they come up to the Jordan River. And God had a plan. God wasn't like, uh-oh, what are we going to do now? Maybe we need to build a bridge or a boat? No. God had a plan all along. This didn't catch the Lord by surprise. You know, to be fair, for us as humans, sometimes transitions happen and they are a surprise to us. We're like, wow, I didn't see that coming. People maybe have lost their jobs, or they lose something else very valuable to them, or whatever the case is, that they weren't expecting that. This is a surprising transition, so to speak. But in general, as we go along through life, we start out as children, and then preteens, and then teenagers, and then young adulthood, then middle age, and then older age. But we all have kind of these expected transitions to go through, okay? And we'll touch on some of that more of that later. But in this transition with the children of Israel, they were faced with something. They weren't necessarily surprised by it themselves. God for sure wasn't surprised, but no doubt they were kind of scratching their head thinking, okay, how are we going to get across? But you know, there was something that had been shared for those 40 years, and it was the story of the Lord delivering them through the Red Sea, okay? So they had that as a reminder, faced with a great body of water, and we want to get across to the other side. How are we going to do that? Well, the Lord did it a little differently this time, but he still performed a miracle and helped them during this transition time. So I want to read just a few verses here in Joshua, the third chapter. And I want to start with, we'll just start at verse 3 here. It says, "And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then shall you remove from your place and go after it." Okay, so there's a couple of things I want to emphasize here. First of all, the Ark of the Covenant. So they were all encamped at a distance from the Jordan River. And another thing to understand, and later in this chapter, we won't read it necessarily, but it had been flooded during this time. So the Jordan River was even larger than normal, okay? And yet, we're supposed to go across, all right? But notice in this third verse, it was the Ark of the Covenant was going to go before them, even just a journey to the place to cross the Jordan River. They're not crossing it yet, but they're supposed to go and follow the Ark of the Covenant, all right, and to the Jordan area. But the end of this verse says, and go after it. You know, what I believe the Lord was trying to get across through Joshua was, folks, let's not be scared and timid here. It's going to be okay. Let's just go forward. We're going to follow the presence of the Lord in this Ark of the Covenant. And all these years prior to this, the Lord's presence was, he would lead them with a cloud by day and a fire by night. All these years, God had led them through the wilderness. And he also had the Ark of the Covenant where his presence would come down in the tabernacle there. And he would bless them. He would help them in their needs. And there was just something about the Ark of the Covenant. It was an emblem, again, of God's presence. That where it goes, everything else is going to be okay. All right? Well, so he told them, go after it. In other words, don't just hang out here in this encampment here. We're going to move into this transition period, all right? Even though, as we're going to read here in a little bit, we've never been here before. So we go on to verse 4. And it says, yet there shall be a space between you and it, between the Ark of the Covenant, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near it, come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. And I want to just stop right there. And I find it interesting, there were specific instructions here given. Don't get too close to the Ark of the Covenant, all right? So there's perhaps many speculations about this. One could be, there was such a vast number of the children of Israel, God wanted them all to have room to view what was fixing to happen, to view the Ark of the Covenant at a distance so everyone could see, all right? And obviously it's in a kind of a valley because it's a river, so it's going to be at a low place. But stay at a distance, and 2,000 cubits is roughly, it's a little over half a mile. So that's quite a distance. And I remember years ago, perhaps some of you all remember this too, Brother Michael Williamson preached a message, I believe it was Monarch, about following the Lord at a safe distance. And there's a lot to that message. I'm not going to get into all of that. But I think what one thing we can take from this is that we get in a position where we can see the Lord work, all right? Prepare ourselves, prepare our minds, And where in this case, there was room for everyone to watch the Lord work and to see the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant. They hadn't got to the river yet, but they're fixing to. But follow the Ark of the Covenant. Keep your eyes on the Ark of the presence of the Lord and just follow it. And he said the verse before that, go after it, all right, and follow this. And then the end of this verse says, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. Again, what he's emphasizing here, Joshua's saying, you all have never been here before. And quite frankly, Joshua hadn't either. He hadn't been in this situation before. He wasn't the leader like he was 40 years prior to that. He was just one of the 12 spies. But yet here he is in a new position himself. He had never been here before. Caleb had never been here before. The rest of the children of Israel, they hadn't been here before either. Coming up to the Jordan River and it's flooded, and how are we going to get across the side to the Canaan land? We don't know, but let's wait and see what the Lord does. All right? Well, and it goes on, verse 6, and Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And I'm going to just fast forward through some of the rest of the story here. You remember how it was told too, and it's here in the scriptures, how that the priests that are bearing the Ark of the Covenant, nothing was going to happen until their feet touched the edge of the river, the water. Notice that. So, you know, that had to take great courage and faith and confidence in the Lord. But they knew as long as they were hanging on to the presence of the Lord, which is in this Ark of the Covenant, we're going to be okay. And guess what? They were. They were just fine. They walked up to the edge of the river. They put their foot in the water, and then it started receding back. The Lord pushed the water, it says, up with the heap, stopped the flow way upstream, and allowed there to be a large space, a large gap, for them to cross over into Canaan. It wasn't just a tiny little path. No, he caused the water to dry up way upstream and allowed a large area for this huge mass of people to cross on dry ground. Isn't that amazing how God was able to do that? Because think about this. This crowd, this group of people, we don't know the exact numbers, well over a million by this time. And with livestock and with children, they had to go at a slow pace. This is going to take a while. Just as crossing the Red Sea took a while back then, but there is even more of them now. But God in his wisdom had a plan. Again, he wasn't stumped. He wasn't surprised by this. But this is a transition, all right? But they had to trust through this transition, a place they'd never been before, all right? But another key to think about through this is as they continued and they follow, and they're again at a safe distance where they're looking, they're seeing the Ark of the Covenant, the priest stepped to the water, and then the water starts pushing back. And again, there's all kinds of things I can imagine here that the people are going, oh, wow, what's happening? Oh, the water, it's receding back this way? And oh, there's the Ark of the Covenant. And they're walking towards the middle of the river floor, and they're just walking right out in the middle where the river was, and they're just walking. They're not having to do anything of preparation. No, they just keep walking down through there. And they're thinking, you know, if that Ark of the Covenant and the priest are making it just fine, then I can too. And you know what that tells me, folks? That when we follow, and you remember Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. That means as he had the presence of the Lord with him and he's following the Lord, then it's safe to follow them too. And so we think of that even with each other, you realize because we're humans and we have relationships and God made us as we're a church, we're a community, we're a family, that we really do affect one another. But when we are following the Lord, it makes it easier for someone else to come along behind and say, you know what? The Lord helped them. The Lord's going to help me too. So just as they were watching, this multitude is watching the Ark of the Covenant being carried by the priest into the riverbed, the dry riverbed, they're like, the Lord's keeping his hand over them. The Lord's going to keep his hand over us too. Thank the Lord. And so that gives us courage then, And this time of transition, this time of transition that the children of Israel are saying, we've never experienced this before. We've never seen a miracle quite like this, but let's go. And I'm thankful that God created a path for all of them to get across. Now, I want to notice this too. In verse 17, at the conclusion of this chapter, it says, the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. I love that word, the words, passed clean over. In other words, they got all the way across, not just two-thirds of the way, and the water started coming back on them. Like, oh, no, we got to hurry. No, all the way across. God is, he is a meticulous God. He's not just haphazard. He doesn't just do things just for the fun of it. He doesn't just do things to make a big scene, but he has a plan. He's going to do things a certain way. He has a plan that's going to be finished. And it says here, he passed clean over the Jordan, all the way across. And it wasn't just three-fourths of the multitude. It was all of them. Okay? So thank the Lord for that. And I want to draw a little diagram on the board just briefly here, just to emphasize something. Okay, so I have a crude diagram drawn on the board. So I have here, just imagine this, a top view of, this is the River Jordan, okay? And this is where the Lord made a path through the Jordan River for the children of Israel to get across. And here in the middle, I have a little star. That's the Ark of the Covenant. That's God's presence. That's where it stayed the whole time while the children of Israel crossed over. And notice over here on the left side, his expression of this little stick man is just kind of a straight line, his mouth. In other words, he's concerned. He's not sure. This is a new thing. It's a transition. But yet he's willing to go forward. And so here we have the arrow going through. And he gets to the other side and notice his expression over here. He's smiling. He made it across. Okay? And so that little diagram, I want us to, again, look at transitions this way. Like this stick figure over here with a smile. Now, I'm not saying you're supposed to be happy all the time with a smile all the time. But my point is that we are fixed upon this Ark of the Covenant, the presence of the Lord, that he's going to make a way for me somehow through this transition, that on the other side, I'm going to make it just like all the rest of them made it across too, okay? And here's another thing, just a good reminder for us. Notice I have the arrow over here, and then it continues on the other side. Because we are human, and the human nature is sometimes, it might be easy to say, you know what, we made it this far, we're just going to kind of hang out here for a while. Do you really want to? The point is that we don't get stuck, that we keep moving,
yes.
All right? Keep moving, because quite honestly, the presence of the Lord, it kept moving across. They maybe could have ran back in there, but once the Ark of the Covenant passed all the way across, everyone else is supposed to be across as well. So yeah, you could have went back into the river, but you could be swallowed up. So the point is, it's just a good reminder that let's not get stuck in the middle, but let's keep going on and following the Ark of the Covenant all the way, and God will bring us all safely across. Thank the Lord for that. Now another example. Remember the disciples. Remember what happened after Jesus died, the crucifixion? They tarried in the upper room. And remember, the day of Pentecost was a wonderful period. You realize that was a transition time. They all were in one accord praying in that upper room. And God came down with his Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost and burned upon them. And then remember, Peter and the different ones went out and preached. these messages inspired by God through the Holy Spirit that brought conviction and souls were saved. But there was a transition period there. They were in the upper room. They're in one accord. But you know what? They could have said, wow, this is awesome. I love the feeling of this. Let's just hang out here for a year or two. They didn't do that. They went out and they preached the gospel and they continued following the presence of the Lord from there. And here we have Christianity, as it was mentioned in Sunday school this morning, Christianity, the largest religion in the world. It's grown exponentially, but it took place because these few disciples that had never experienced their master being crucified before, this was a new thing to them, and they weren't sure what to do, but we can at least meet together and pray, and God was pleased with that. The presence of the Lord was there, but they didn't stay there forever. They went on, and they continued where the Lord directed them, and I think that's a good practice for us too, that we continue on as the Lord leads us, okay? Now, I want to talk about us all this morning for a little bit. Let's bring this down to where we live. Because truly, we all are going through transitions right now in one shape or form or another. And I'm going to mention some this morning, and I'm not going to be able to touch on all of them. But I'll mention one I just shared a little bit earlier about job situations. Of course, they change over time. Sometimes it's as simple as a schedule change. And again, I've went through some of that myself. It's like I'm used to a certain schedule and maybe get a new job or new position or whatever, and I have to change the schedule. I'm like, ah. It's easy to look at all the negatives. It just is. In fact, I'll just share just another one here outside of a job situation. Even getting haircuts. Now, that sounds pretty comical. But I had a barber that was around for 30-some years, right, Ron? He cut my dad's hair, my granddad's hair, my hair, and my boy's hair. And anyway, he retired a few years back, and someone else took his place, just a little barbershop here in town. And as most of my family know, I kind of like structure, as in I get methodical, kind of routine, just kind of like keep things the same, you know, it just keeps life simple. I like that, you know. And so I could always get appointments with my previous barber, and I like that. The new barber changed that. It's walk-ins only, and that was pretty frustrating for a while. In fact, sometimes it still is kind of like, oh, man, I wish I could just get an appointment. I don't have to worry about it. But, you know, one thing I found, he opens at 7 in the morning. And I don't have to be at work till 8. I'm like, okay, well, I got to get there early because other guys will get in there in line. So I have to, anyway. But now I've started, it's been a transition for me. And, folks, this sounds silly, okay? But this is just real life. I'm just being vulnerable here. That I've finally come to realize, you know, it's not such a bad thing. I can get there earlier. And I might even be able to get to work earlier then. So I get there before 7, get it, and there may be one or two guys ahead of me, but I may have to get there even earlier. But whatever the case, get my hair cut, then go on to work, and it's okay. But it wasn't so easy at first. It's been a transition. But what I've had to do is look for some positive things about it. You know, maybe this will help me get around sooner, and I can do other things, get other things accomplished. You know, that's not such a bad thing. It's not been easy. It's been a transition. It really has. But again, about job situations, maybe you have a new position and more responsibility or whatever, and it's like, I don't know what, I've never been in this position, I've never had this type of responsibility, and it's easy sometimes to look at it and be overwhelmed with it and think, well, this just may be the end of me. You know, it doesn't have to be that way. God can enable you. He gave you that job. He gave you that position. He can enable you and sustain you with those new responsibilities. And here's what I love about this. We've seen other people succeed with the same thing. You understand what I'm saying? Other people have gone before us, and the Lord's blessed them in their jobs and their careers as well. But again, that's just a few examples here. But it may be as simple as learning maybe a new skill, or taking a class that, like, you have an opportunity here, and it's like, oh no, I've never taken this type of class before. I've never learned this type of skill. And can I really do this? Is it really going to help? Is it really going to be beneficial? It's a transition, a lot of unknowns. But folks, let's not allow those fears to hold us back, okay? Because there's other things. You know, even with our health, you know, health changes in our bodies, sometimes for the better and sometimes for the worse. Maybe a person has had some recent health issues, or maybe you're in the middle of a journey of improving your health, but it's a transition. It's like, I've never been here before. I've never felt this way before. I'm like, I don't know what to think about this. Folks, take the Lord with you in that. Ask the Lord for help. Ask the Lord for wisdom and guidance and discernment and to know how to handle yourself, because we're all unique in ourselves. Some people can do one thing this way, and some have to do it another way. We're not all the same. And we're all on our own separate journeys. But I want to tell you this. Let's not give up in the middle of the transition. Say, Lord, I know you can help me through this transition, okay? And here's another one, relationships. You know, it may be new relationships. Like, maybe the Lord would allow an opportunity for us to get out of the house more and socialize more with people. Make some new friends. Stretching yourself a little bit. Or maybe it's even with old relationships. Friends we've had for years, but maybe you've had to have that serious conversation with them about something. Maybe you need to share something with a close friend that you trust, that something you've been struggling with. But it's a transition because of, like, I've never shared this before. You see what I'm saying? It's like, I don't know what to do with this. But folks, I'm here to say the Lord has a plan for your life. And his plan is to take you all the way through, not leave you in that transition period where you feel like you're lost and you don't know what to do, but he wants to lead you all the way through that. And here's some other things. Again, just some daily life things. Maybe it's buying a new house, building a new house, maybe a major remodel job on your house. Whatever the case is, sometimes those things can feel overwhelming. Like, I've never been here before. I don't know really what's the best way to do this. You know, it's like, I don't know. But again, it's a transition period. But I'm here to say the Lord's going to help you through that too. Okay? Maybe as simple as learning to drive or getting a new car, having your first vehicle. Or maybe you're newly married or you're recent empty nesters, where your children are gone. You know, you're middle age, your children aren't there anymore. Like, I've never experienced this before. You know, what do we do? Well, again, the Lord wants to be there with you through that as well. Maybe even newly retired. Or maybe you're learning to be a new parent or a new grandparent. You know, these are all wonderful things, but it's like, I've never been in that position before. But the Lord is saying, I'm going to be with you through that, okay? Or, you know, even working for the Lord in a new capacity. Maybe the Lord has been talking to you about doing something for him that it's like, I've never tried that before, Lord. I don't know what to do. You know, it's okay. Just seek the Lord in that and just keep following his presence, following the Spirit of the Lord in that. But again, don't get bogged down in the middle, because he wants to take us through, all right, to the other side. Okay? So thinking of all these examples this morning, I just touched on a few. Again, sometimes it may seem overwhelming because, again, we've never been here before. Just like the children of Israel. They've never been to the River Jordan before that was flooded, and now all these people, and we got to get across. How are we going to do this? So it may seem scary, or sometimes you just may feel lost or like, I don't know. I'm like, I don't know which way to turn. I don't know what to do. How do I approach this? A lot of unknowns. But I want to remind you of a scripture, a familiar scripture. I want to turn and read Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, verse 3. It says here, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." So what I have written on the board here, trust through transition. So in life, no matter where you find yourself right now, more than likely, all of us are in a certain transition period right now. Do you realize that God has the peace that we need right now? And whatever transition we're in, it says here again, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." There's a condition here. "Whose mind is stayed on thee." In other words, we're like the multitude. We're looking at and we're following the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of the Lord. We're focusing on the Lord. We're not looking at the river. We're not looking back here at the past, so to speak. Yes, it is good. That is a good point. We can reflect upon the past and remind ourselves of how the Lord has helped us, but we're not focused on the past. We can't go forward if we're focused on the past. But we're looking forward. We're looking to where the Lord is at. Okay, that little star right there. Because the scripture says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." In other words, we're trusting the process. The process through this transition, we're trusting what God is doing. Though I don't see the end results, I'm not across yet. We're still in the middle of the transition here. But it's trust through the transition. And we think about this, that staying focused on the Lord, actively looking for him in our current circumstances, look for the Lord. Seek him, okay? And allow him to lead you through this transition. And we do this peace, the scripture talks about the peace which passeth understanding. You realize that peace comes when we feel safe in the Lord's hands. We feel safe in how he's leading us gently. Just as he led this huge multitude, he led them gently. He realized they had to take one little step at a time. They weren't just blazing through the desert land. No, they weren't. They were taking one step at a time because he knew that was their pace. Just one, he had all these little children, he had the livestock, all these things. He's like, "I'll lead you gently. We got time. You're going to be okay. We're going to make it across here, okay, together." Thank the Lord. And this perfect peace is an undisturbed and settled confidence in God. Again, I'm not focused on everything else around here. I'm not focused on all the waters over here, everything in the past. I'm focused on who's in the middle, who's leading this. I'm focused on the Lord. And that gives us that security of feeling safe, that God is here, and yes, everything's going to be okay. As long as I keep my eyes on the Lord, I'm going to have that perfect peace, okay? And to think of it this way, he's not going to lead us astray. He's not going to forsake us. He's not going to harm us. He's not going to put on us more than we can bear, but rather, he's going to be faithful to us. He's going to lead us gently, as I was mentioned earlier. He's going to protect and defend us. He'll help dissolve and calm our fears. He'll help us grow and develop and mature and all those things. And he'll enable us to carry on each and every day, one step at a time. That ultimately, I want to turn and read this scripture in closing. In Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. Familiar passage here. Isaiah 43. I want to read verses 1 through 3. "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." I want to focus on this here a little bit. It says, "For I have redeemed thee." You know, if there's someone here today that they don't feel like they've been redeemed, I'm here to say that is possible. That is in God's plan. He said he would that all men would be saved. All mankind. Not that any would be, that any would lose out on eternal life. And so that love, that mercy, the door to God's entrance is open to whosoever will can receive this, can be redeemed. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Think about this. The children of Israel, they were his chosen people. They were his. And he's like, I'm going to take you across. I'm not going to allow any of you to perish. And truly that happened. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Oh, thank the Lord. That no matter what transition we're in, God's not going to allow us to be overwhelmed with it. Think of that. None of those children of Israel were overwhelmed with that task at hand. They all made it, as the scripture said, clean across the Jordan, all the way across. You realize the Lord's going to help us in our transitions too, to help us all the way through it. Through the waters, through the floods, through the fire. And the last part of this, the first part of the third verse, it says, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Thank the Lord. Folks, God has a beautiful plan for you and for me. God has promises installed for us to trust in. God has a plan. He has a path for us to take us through whatever transition we're in right now, to bring us over to the other side where we have a smile on our face, just like this little stick figure over here, and to realize that with the Lord and his presence, everything's going to be okay because he's there. You pray for me. I'll be faithful to him.